How is everyone this morning?
What did you see? What did you hear him say?
Good. Audience participation time.
Well, I'm glad to be here too.
But good doesn't tell me how you really are.
My identity.
I'm going to show a little clip here in just a minute. Anybody ever heard about the book, The Cure? Raise your hand if you heard about The Cure. Have you read the book? Raise your hand. Quite a few of you. Well, some of you heard about the book but never received the book, right? This book has set me free. Why has it set me free? Well, you see, I'm one of those guys that believes that to achieve well in life, you have to perform well.
What
and if I perform well, then I get more love from Jesus.
When I allow true grace into
well,
my life,
then I don't
and
get
I really
that much
see
love
that he's
going to
hold me, he's going to keep me,
and it hasn't worked
and
very
that
well
I'm
for
so
me.
Valuable that he'll never
I don't know how it's working
me.
For you.
Then there is
and
hope in me
know
to live
that
because
I've had
of my
times
identity
in life
in Jesus
where
Christ,
hidden from
not
my
what the world says I
inner
am, but who Christ says I am.
Secrets.
Close?
And that hasn't paid off either.
Anybody
David,
else?
Look, I think it's the 37th Psalm.
David
so,
says, I hid. And I
why
I
is this
dying
what I
inside because I
in
wasn't
my own
honest
life.
And real in my life.
See, I'm no, living
I've
with
shared this
book
with
a lot of
today.
People.
Not what the world
friend,
says about me.
I have a friend. I challenged him.
We're
going to do this book for 7 days.
Is that freedom?
I didn't want him getting off on the sidelines. And he never did really officially appreciate the author's words.
I understand.
Is the word shame.
He has a kind of funny way of saying things.
But the point is,
now I know.
Am I living a life?
Says,
I know
the
scripture
real
says
true grace
all
of Jesus.
Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Now, or am I in a life of good
one?
Intentions, just hoping
we've all
I've done
failed?
Enough to
Amen.
Jesus.
But
I know Romans 8:1 says
with
what?
That. You ready for the clip?
There's no condemnation for those who are
in
Jesus
6 minute
Christ.
Clip.
Okay,
so we got an
like
argument going
time.
On.
I understand.
Am I?
But maybe you get more
okay,
on this clip
or
than you
am
get
I not?
Okay.
So
this is John Lynch, one of the writers talking here.
That has meant a lot to me in all this. As I've gone through this, get my pages to separate. The scripture is from Galatians 2:20. This I think if you're going to pick a scripture, if you're going to live this truth that I'm trying to share today, you have to take this scripture. You have to take this scripture. It's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So if this is the case, that I've been crucified in Christ and he lives in me, so what takes Christ out of me? Help me out. If I'm fused with Christ, which Mr. Bailey loves this word, fused. If I'm fused with Christ, then what's to separate me from Christ?
Fear.
Ah, fear. Oh, you have to bring that word up. Holy smokes. Now, haven't you heard the song, Fear is a Liar? Everybody heard that song? And what is fear? What does fear really try to say to you? You're not good enough. You'll never mount the hell of beans. You're not going to make it. Steve.
If I'm fused, he's still with me even in my fear. I'm there. He's with me.
So which gets back to true identity?
Even in my shame and my fear and my mistrust.
So what does disobedience do with all this? Okay, so if grace is such a good place, what happens to my disobedience? What does Jesus Christ do with my disobedience? What's that? Kayla, I can't hear you.
Takes it on himself.
So how righteous? Okay, here's another big scripture. Let me get the right one. Okay, this is an important one. It's in Colossians? No. Yeah. Colossians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. What is 2 Corinthians 5? You guys have got the same notes I have. This is your notes for today that's in your bulletin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Anyone want to read that one this morning?
Therefore,
Got it?
For he made him who knew no sin to be you for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
So everyone in this room in Christ is righteous. Totally complete. Now, what is the trigger? What is the trigger that keeps me wanting to go back to the room of good intentions? What makes me or any of us want to put the mask on and go back to this room of good intentions? What's going on here? Why the mask? What's it do for you? It hides me from what? From what?
Scrutiny.
Oh, scrutiny. Okay. What else? The truth? Okay. Bob?
You can make that mask look any way you want to. I don't know if it's plain white, but you can paint it.
What's the last part? I could paint it.
So the mask can fit whatever crowd you're in.
Oh, the mask allows me to fit in whatever crowd I go into. So in one room I might be okay, but in the next room I might be miserable.
Whoever you think you
want to be. Okay. These are all good. Anybody else?
It hides who you are.
One of the things that the book says is that really truthfully, when you wear the mask, the only thing that really gets loved is the mask. Because the person in behind the mask never really gets loved. Because they're hiding so much from God, they can't be loved. Now, you see, I'm about wanting to live a life of freedom. I want to live a life with hope. But what does shame tell you?
There is no hope.
You'll never be good enough. You're unworthy. Anybody ever felt unworthy? Yep. So what I'm trying to share here this morning with you, and you have my notes, everything about my notes. I tried to make as complete on this one single page for you anything and everything that I experienced out of this teaching that I felt was important, okay? So one of the things in the room of good intentions, I'm working on my sin to achieve an intimate relationship with God. I'm working on my sin. And I have a belief window that if I have more right behavior and less wrong behavior, I will become into more godliness. And James wants me to desperately performing for acceptance, but I really don't believe that I deserve. And I'm trying to change from who I was into who I should be. And I'm striving so hard to be all God wants me to be. Have you ever felt that way about your relationship with God? If I only could get more, if I only worked harder. You know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the secret. If you will pray at least 5 hours every day, and if you will read through the Bible in a year, and if you are, and definitely if you are any opportunity you have for any small groups or any connections, if you will do all these things, I guarantee your godliness will grow. And don't dare think about ever missing any fellowship, especially on Sunday, because if you do that, then there's going to be a separation between you and Christ's love. And what I'm getting at is the more works we try to do to get closer to God is a no-winner, okay? I'm not saying that prayer isn't important. I'm not saying fellowship isn't important. But why do you fellowship? Why do you pray? Why are you reading the scriptures? What's behind all this? Why would you do those things? Help me. Relationship? Great. What else?
Because you love God.
And he's in love with you and you want to spend time with him, amen? But if it's about my performance so he'll love me more, we've got the wrong objective here. He loves me unconditionally, just for who I am. I'm not sure you all buy into that. He loves me unconditionally loved through his grace, through the cross. And I'm not going to get any more grace, and I'm not going to get any more righteousness out of this story. He's already done it all on the cross. Now, why would I want to stay in the sin world? because God can't satisfy me as much as my sin. You ever felt that way? Gonna do it anyway. That's something I want. I've always been this way. I don't believe I'm powerful enough to change that. People have told me that I'll never change. There's something fundamentally wrong with me. I don't know. You guys have it all together, but I still suffer with getting my act together. Absolutely. For what reason? Exactly. Yes, and what is the consequences? Okay, but what is the consequences of sin? Does it separate you from Christ?
No, it doesn't separate you.
Right, and it affects the relationship in the sense of the closeness, because what do you do with, when you're in sin and you have a relationship going on with Christ, what is your first thought about this? Do a lot of people have a thought because of that they're separated?
Yes. But you need to pray about
this. Absolutely.
The things that you think are wrong before you do it, you pray about it.
Absolutely. So what she's trying to say is when we're in a sin mode, we need to get real and honest with Jesus Christ about this, because that's where the cleansing comes. That's when we take the mask off and we get exposed and say, Lord, here's who I really am, and here's how I see you today in me, and I need to get honest with Jesus. Amen? Larry, you were going to say something? Okay. So Larry's saying, if you have sin going on in your life, and you confess it, but nothing, you don't do anything to change your behavior, it doesn't go away. Jesus doesn't leave us, but we are the ones that pull away from him. That's a baseline I'm trying to share today, right there. Christ is not leaving you. Christ is in you. And you, we think that he's pulling away. That's not true. And what happens when you think Christ is pulling away? What's your feelings and emotions inside?
Loneliness.
Loneliness, unworthiness, not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough.
Hopeless.
Do you enjoy living in that place? Anybody ever enjoyed that place? But you would agree that we've gone there and it's lonely? Amen? Okay? I'm going to feel like a failure anyway, so I might as well enjoy doing it. I have shared this testimony from this right here. I shared it with a person who comes out from a really an abandoned background. If you guys had ever heard this person's story, you'd have to wonder how he's made it to be 50-some years old. But when I started sharing this stuff with him in the counseling room, he bawled like a little baby. Like a little baby. I have never seen him cry so much. He just wept because he started to see that Christ was going to hold on to him. Even through all his stinky stuff, Christ was not going to abandon him. Christ is the one that was going to walk beside him. And so it's been a joy. It's been such a joy to be a part of this story of helping people understand what the real cure is about. And that's taking off the mask, getting real, and getting exposed. So if we go into the room of grace over on the right side, you have as much as God as you're going to get. He lives in you. You're in him. I'm already maturing, which Colleen, you brought up. I'm already maturing in my true identity, who I already am. It's not what I'm trying to prove to God. I'm already in Christ. He already knows me. So it's nothing for me to prove. And I'm living out of who he says I am. Not what the world says I am. There's a big separation here. And when we get into this room of grace, it's all about trust. Christy and I had a little talk about trust this morning already. Do you really trust that they, the three, can take care of you? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Do you believe this? It says in Scripture, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarded for those who seek him. So I can't please God without trusting, and that is the biggest thing. And as I get in this room of grace, I have to be willing to be humble. That's saying I'm broken, crushed. Lord, it's all about you, and it's not about me. It's your story here today. And one of the things that I have experienced in this walk over the last 4 months with this story for my own life, that I have finally, I think, heard the voice of truth from the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that He's here to work with me and hold me in my worst day, in my worst moments. John talked about that in the movie. In your worst moments, Christ wants to come in beside you and hold you, nurture you, and lift you up. Now, does that seem possible? So, okay, here's where I want to ask this question. How many of you have felt that that cannot be a true statement? On your worst day, Christ wants to come and hold you, talk to you, and spend time with you. What are your feelings about that? Help me out. What's that? Okay. So he had people that double-crossed him, and he still died for those. Harry, you said? There's been those moments when you knew in your worst of moments that Christ came in and held you and talked to you and held. But what is, help me out your teachings from being in the church life and the Christian life. What have you learned about that statement? What's your thought about what's God do with bad people? Sends them to hell. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Either get your act or you're going to hell. That's just the way it is. Get your act together or else that's going to happen. What else? Come on, you guys, be real with me, would you? What's your beliefs about who God is when you're a bad person? Tell me. As long as you ask, you always have a second chance. But what if you don't ask? You wouldn't want to be that person, okay? It's not about asking. The gift has been there all along.
So, I think a lot of it goes back to how we're taught God is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in my case, my dad is very authoritarian. I had to be good to get his love.
Right.
Therefore, that's how I saw God.
Right.
So I had to perform to get God's love. With Terry's death, I had to let go of that and see God for who he really is.
Okay. So, Cindy's trying to say here, if you've had an authoritarian father, and the only way you got his affection was that you performed well. So we come into the Christian realm of walking, and the only way that I can get God to love me enough is I have to perform well enough for him to get that love. Anybody ever experienced that in the church? Now get honest, people. You're sitting there. Yes?
Okay. Until we can get to a concept of God is not fair, not fair, but just, you can't accept this thing that he won't hold you for these sins.
Okay, so God is just. He's not fair, but he's a just God. So in other words, he set the bar and said, this is what we do, this is what's righteous. Amen? And if we don't do that, Lori, what happens? Okay, so we have a choice whether or not we want to accept the cross and what it's done for our life. That's justice. Okay?
Here's a question. So we're all in heaven, Bob, and we're standing next to our brothers and sisters. The person standing next to me with a child. Well, that's terrible. You're right, God's not fair. But this guy next to me is still my brother.
Can you hear that? Okay. So, I get to heaven, and standing beside me is a person who's been a molester. Maybe it's a person who's murdered somebody. Maybe it's somebody that cheated me out of a lot of money. Maybe it's somebody that shamed me in public. How far does God's grace go? Where?
All the way.
So this is another part of the story of cure. In the destiny part of it, is because I've received all this love of Christ, I'm willing to share that love with somebody else. That's what keeps me going in the sense, in my own personal life. Gabe, what's pay forward mean for you? Tell me what pay forward means for Gabe. That's where righteousness and grace come back.
But I know where my heart is at, and I know that God has given me that power through the Holy Spirit to be able to go and do that without any fear.
Can you hear that up at all?
Yep.
Okay. So I've always preached what Gabriel shared with me. I've seen him do this with many people in testimony. Gabe understands where he's come from. He understands how much he has done wrong, but he also understands how much grace God has given to him to live this life. And his pay forward is about, I want to give that same grace to somebody else. And that's what the destiny is about in the cure. The cure is, I get cured because I understand what my identity is, and I try to give that grace to somebody else. I pass it on. I get pay forward. And that's what the message, I'm trying to come from this message. Each one of you in Christ are complete. Each one of you in Christ has been forgiven. Christ is not leaving you. He's not out here to say, all right, Bob, today, man, I tell you what, you are the biggest mess up. I don't know if I want to spend time with you today. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus comes and says, Bob, man, you've had a rough day. Let's spend some time together. I want to talk to you, Bob. I want to be with you. I value you. You're so important to my ministry. I just value you. Boy, you've had a long day. I know you've had a lot of stuff on your mind. I know you blew this. I know this. But you know, I'm keeping you. I'm going to hold you today. I'm not leaving you. I'm telling you what, people. You play game. You can play this church game. You can play your mass game. You just keep doing anything you want to do. But I'm telling you, the day that you want to get real with Jesus Christ, Margaret, you talked about it. Get honest about your sin. Larry talked about change. I want to change my behavior, Lord. I want to do that. If you want to get honest and you want to get exposed, Jesus Christ will give you a life and power and love beyond that you can even imagine. I'm just saying that is a fact in my life, and I've seen it in others' lives because it's changing lives. Because when you want to die to self, God's going to give you life. And to be his disciple, Luke 9:23. Chris, you got that one down?
Not that one.
Luke says, you want to be my disciple? You come along with me today. You deny yourself and take up your cross. Don't you love that? I get to die today and take up a cross and suffer. Oh, man. But he says, I'll give you life. And I'll give it. He said, I'll give you life abundant. Amen? And he says, in Christ, I'm a new creature. Do you feel like a new creature here today? Is there parts that you don't feel good about? Well, we'll still work on those. Amen? But here's the thing. In the body of Christ, we've got to be willing to give grace. Colleen, you said this great. We've got to be willing to give grace to the wounded. We've got to give grace to those who are struggling. Because you look around, and we got a lot of people, man, that are hurting in this world today that are mess ups. I'll give you one example this week. I walked into an office, and this guy's just calmly talking to somebody about some situation. I even heard him say, "I'm really sorry." And about that time, he slams that phone down, and he goes, he starts cussing. I mean, and I looked at him face to face, and his eyes are like beads. I mean, this guy's in. He's man. He is mad, and so I'm standing there. I don't know what to do. So I finally says, "Well, here, let's take three deep breaths." And he starts calming down. And then I say to him, I says, "Man, you okay? You okay?" Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. And so he finally went over and sat down. I says, "Can I pray for you?" So I just said a short prayer for this guy. Because, you know, I've been in that time and place in my life where I needed somebody just to say, "Are you okay?" I didn't need somebody to tell me, "You know, you ought to get over that anger. You ought to get better at what you do." I couldn't believe he calmed down, and he just when I left, he says, "Well, thanks for praying for me." He seemed at a lot more peace. We're talking the 60-second prayer here. We're not talking about, "Lord Jesus, I don't know what's going on." No, just quick prayer, and he got it. Larry, you want to say something? Right.
I must think about what I want to replace that behavior.
Right.
Think about that replacement and you move
forward. Right. Larry's saying that if you always think about what you want to be instead of thinking of things that could change for you to get to that place, then change can happen. Because I'm looking at those things that I know. And here's the thing with Christ. He's already gone to the cross. He said it's finished. Amen? Finished. So this stinky thinking has to get finished. So, wow, I'm a child of God. Woo! I'm holy, I'm righteous. He believes in me. Even in my worst day, he's going to hold me. Is that good? Is that good news? Nikki, is that good news? People, I hope, I'm just trying to share a message that's meant a lot to my life. I'm telling you, I've seen what I've read and learned here since February. I've seen lives changed. I've never seen so many lives changed in all my life through the cure, meaning I'm going to trust and I'm fused. Steve just beats this in me. Steve, I'm not going to let this word go. I am fused in Christ, and Christ didn't let me go, and I'm not letting him go. Amen? So, anybody this morning, I don't know where you are. Steve, you got something to say? Hey. Come on in. Right. So Steve's trying to say if we'd abide in him and let him lead the way, this is the trust factor in this room of grace. I have to trust that his grace is sufficient for me today, as well as it is for you. Who here doesn't want grace? Is there anybody here doesn't want grace? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be forgiven? Is there anybody here that wants to be beat up more and told more how you're a loser? You're never going to amount to anything? Do you want more of that? Or do you want to get into the love of Christ? This morning, I don't know where you are. You know where you are. If you would like prayer this morning, come forward. I'll pray with you. I'll try to do my best to just let the Lord encourage you. It's not about me. It's about him through me. And love on you. Bob, Chrissy, why don't you come up here? Let's just stand up here with people. Who else? Mike? Chris? Come up forward. I hope today, I hope today that you believe who Christ says you are, not what the world says you are. I think if you want to keep believing the world, well, how's it working for you? Because the world has told me many things that I've not agreed with, but I believed them anyway. And let us pray with you. Anybody here that's just feeling today, I just need released. I don't know who it is. Let these people pray over you. Ladies want to come to Chrissy and let her just hug on you. If you need just hope today, let Chrissy do that. Let Mike and Chris and Bob's back there. Bob's back there, so in case you're trying to escape without getting real today, Bob's going to catch you back there. Just joking, people. So we're here to love on you today. If we can pray for you, and let's pray right now. Okay, Lord? Boy, this surrender stuff has got to be the hardest thing I think we ever do in life. I think that, Lord, that we want to be so good for you. We're trying so hard to please you with everything we say, we do. You know, and you know, there's not one of us that's done it all right. And you know that we need to surrender and come to our knees and say, Lord Jesus, I can't do this anymore on my own. And Lord, maybe there's some here today that's never said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. They might have said, Lord, I want you for my salvation, but I mean, Lord, where you get my whole life, you get my whole thing. I'm finished with me. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired, I'm worn out, and I'm beat up. I'm bleeding, and I got some sores to show it, bruises. So Lord, let us be real here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come forward if anybody feels this song's calling you. Come forward.